Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So today, Catherine, we're going to talk about another tough situation. We like to tackle these.
We do.
What do you do when your boss targets someone at work? It could be constantly criticizing them in front of others. Mm-hmm. Oh, so awful. Or calling them names, or simply speaking to this person in an angry tone in front of others.
Yeah, that can be so uncomfortable. And it could be scary to confront because you may be afraid that the boss will turn on you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is the kind of thing where you just want to, you know, go run and hide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Turn into a lampshade.
Yeah. All right. So, Logan, let's just go to our question that came in.
I work for a small company and we have a very uncomfortable situation. My boss has singled out this one guy who he treats horribly. He calls him lazy and other names that I don't want to mention. He picks on this coworker constantly and acts like it's funny. It isn't. I personally think there's some kind of competition or something going on. I also think my boss is not aware of his behavior and how damaging it is to all of us. I'm losing respect for my boss, and I feel tense around him. I could bring up the situation during my annual review, or maybe I should go to him sooner. We are such a small company that there is no HR department. Do you have any ideas about how I can address this situation?
Ugh. Another job.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I've seen this. I mean, there may be something personal going on between your boss and this guy. Mm-hmm. But regardless, it's unprofessional to treat somebody poorly in front of everybody else. It's not a good situation.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a big mouth, so I would go to the boss. Mm-hmm. And I would say, look, I don't know what's going on, but mm-hmm. it's uncomfortable for me. I'm really uncomfortable. So is there anything I can do? Can I help?
Yeah.
I mean, I would do something like that just to make the boss aware.
Yeah.
What about you, Catherine?
I would think a lot about what I wanted to say when I approached the boss. Mm-hmm. I think, it's such a painful situation. And I think it's interesting that the person who asked the question said he may not even be aware of his behavior. Mm-hmm. So I think I would meet with the boss confidentially, obviously, and mm-hmm. just say, you may not be aware of this, but you constantly are calling this person. And I'd give concrete examples of the names. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you'd have to say that it feels very uncomfortable, but you'd have to be willing to do that without fear of retaliation. So it may take a while to work up the guts to do it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I wonder, what about going to the person who's being put down
mm-hmm.
and saying, you know, I don't really know what's going on here, but did something happen?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. To find out more?
Yeah, to find out maybe, you know, the boss just rotates targets. Because
yeah.
we've certainly seen that in our business. We go into companies and there are bosses that rotate targets.
Yeah.
You know, you never know if it's going to be your day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they stay with the target for a little bit and then they move on to another one. They just have to have somebody that they beat up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that might help.
To find out what the history
is. Right. I don't know if this person who sent in the question is new at this job.
Yeah.
And this is new behavior. I don't know. But we see this kind of behavior.
We do.
But I think, you know, to say, okay, well, I'm just going to make believe it's not happening.
No. Well, then you feel sick. All these things that are being described, right? You feel tense around him. You lose respect. And the other thing is it's that whole thing of witnessing this kind of behavior, which really is like bullying, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To witness that, it does damage to you and to the whole team and the whole company. I'm just remembering, actually, that in a course that I took recently, what they said for adolescents, the best way to deal with bullying is to advocate for the person at the moment that they're mm-hmm. being bullied.
Oh, boy.
Mm. Yeah. So
but a boss, that's different. Really?
Right. Well, more to the point of you just offer a contrary opinion. So, yeah, it is tricky with a boss. So you could go well, we're talking about going and speaking to the boss in private. I guess another option would be when he says, so-and-so, you're lazy, whatever, so-and-so. You could say, I don't experience him that way.
I would be afraid of retaliation at that moment. Well, you're just as lazy then or something. I mean, when somebody's angry and they're putting somebody down, although they say, you know, they kind of do it in humor, mm-hmm. which I can't stand.
That's even worse, isn't it?
It's insulting. And it makes you, you know, kind of feels like gaslighting. What? Did that really happen? What?
Yeah.
Right. It's confusing. I don't know. This is a tough one to know how to play because mm-hmm. you have to know the characters. You have sure. to have a bit of a history.
Right. And you have to have, you know, your relationship with the boss, right?
Right.
Like, is this someone who could take the truth from you? Do you have a strong enough bond for that?
Mm-hmm. Right. And what is it you're trying to say to the boss? Mm-hmm. You're trying to say what? Like, don't, you don't like this person, get rid of them. But if, you know, for the morale of the rest of the staff, you got to stop putting them down because it feels like you're putting us all down.
Yeah. Well, I think you have to speak strictly from your experience, actually.
Right.
And mm-hmm. you have to say, you've called him names, you address him constantly in a negative manner, and it makes me extremely uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you'd have to say. And you may not be aware of it, but it is hurting my morale. I can't imagine that it's not affecting others.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you'd have to start from your own individual experience.
I agree. I think you have to just talk about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of, we know this one woman who treats all of her staff poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it went well when people defended, right? Although,
no.
You know, what happens when somebody's being bullied is the staff supports one another. They end up being there for each other because
right.
you don't have mom and dad around.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, she had extremely high turnover as well.
Exactly.
So they didn't stay around for too long.
No, they didn't. They didn't stick around.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a tough thing. And you're right. It has a lot to do with the character of the individual who is doing the targeting.
I mean, anyone who's going to do that is going to do it to somebody else. I mean, I think they're usually equal opportunity nasty people. They don't usually right. just say, okay, well, that just this kind of person I'm going to. Mm-hmm. Although you don't know, there could be something personal going on with mm-hmm. this person.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is, it's unprofessional.
Yeah.
And since there's no HR department, this is a problem when you work in a small company. This might be the owner. Who knows?
Right. Well, I'm wondering if you could, now I'm thinking that numbers could help. So what if you found another colleague who was willing? What if the two of you went and approached the boss?
As long as that person doesn't back out.
Right.
Right. Right.
Or the last minute.
Or say in that meeting, I don't have a problem. Which I've had happen to me.
Right.
You got to be careful.
Yeah.
But if it's not the owner, maybe go to the owner in a
uh-huh.
group and say we have a problem.
That's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a cut and dry situation.
No.
There have to be.
There are a lot of variables.
Yeah.
I also know, because I've spoken to individuals who are in this kind of situation, and we talked about it briefly, that culturally can be different how you handle it depending on the culture, not just the company, but where you are. A friend of mine who lives in the South says that you don't confront, you know, in the forthright manner. You have to sort of do it in a much more gentle, less direct manner.
What does that mean?
I think it means go to the
bring
owner
muffins?
Of the company.
I was just going to say, yeah, you bring some type of delicious
maybe you bring
food.
Some, exactly. And, or maybe you do go to the owner and just say, I thought you might want to know about this. Or maybe you do it as a cat, you know, ask the person out for coffee, the boss.
Mm-hmm.
And do it in a
or you
less
can videotape it
setting.
And put it up on YouTube. Kidding, kidding. Don't do that. Well,
yeah.
so that's
yeah.
interesting. You're saying that in the South, I don't know if that's true, but in the South, you can't confront.
I'm not saying you can't confront. I'm
seen
saying
as bad manners.
That exactly. The whole idea of manners and courtesy is much stronger. Has a much stronger place in interpersonal interactions.
Mm. My experience, and I like the South. My daughter lives there. Mm-hmm. Is that they're kind of fake niceties, though. They're not honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, bless her heart. Which really means I don't like her. So I don't know. I think there's still a way to professionally address this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. I understand in New York, we would just, you know, we'd be more direct. But I think there's, you still have, if it's making you really uncomfortable, mm-hmm. I think you do have to say something or do something, or, you know, you can just go get another job, because working for this kind of person is not fun.
Right. But actually, I think one of the things you could say is, you know, I wouldn't normally address this, but it's gotten to a point where I am feeling uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So you sort of make it the exception to the rule, and that could make it a little softer. I don't know. I don't know. All the other factors are. But I do think that you have to find a way that makes sense with the setting you're in. So like you're saying, either you may need to go to the owner, or you may need to address with someone else in tow, with a partner in crime, or you may need to meet with the boss yourself and be really prepared with your talking points.
Yeah, I would try to get a historian in the company, somebody who's been around, to see what...
Has this happened before?
Yeah, and, you know, does it blow over, or do you, you know, like, what works?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I would talk to people before you do anything and find out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's interesting to think about is what really matters to the boss. You know, if image, professional image matters, you can speak to that, right? That I really respect you as a leader, and in so many situations, you always give us the right guidance. And so I'm surprised in this situation, it seems, you know, off. It's not what I know you to be. And so I'd love to have it addressed.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I always think speaking to the ego of the boss is not a bad approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it all depends on who the boss is and what the historical picture of this person is and how they handle this. But just to speak to the people that are going through this, it's never fun to work for somebody who's demeaning.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It never feels good. And I know you go to work and your shoulders are up. Like, is it my day? What are they going to do? And you're constantly taking the temperature of this person to see what kind of mood they're in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I hear this a lot from my clients, is that they have to approach, a lot of people say this, their bosses, and when they're in the right mood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's what my family probably thinks about me, too. I don't know. But I know I have to do that with my cat. But, you know, so there's a somewhat normalcy to that.
Yeah.
But I still, because if people are very, very stressed out and busy, you probably don't want to talk to them about the lack of paper towels.
Right.
So sometimes you do have to figure that out. But this kind of public humiliation
is really bad.
It's really, so just... to know it probably won't get better, and you might want to think about, you know, switching to a different kind of company or, if that exists in your workplace and this person is embedded and they're not leaving, it's a problem.
That's where it's important to find out about the history.
Yeah.
And also I do like the idea of going to the individual who is being targeted, and that maybe you ask, how can I support you? This is really hard. I know on you, what can I do to be of assistance?
And find out what this person did wrong. Why? And because, you know, that could be something that anybody could do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's big. I mean, maybe the person is bad.
Right. Well, we just spoke with someone who's dealing with a personality conflict and a boss. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard because if for some reason they have a visceral negative reaction to you, that's very hard to change.
Especially built over many years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going away.
Yeah.
And you've tried a lot of things to make it better, and it hasn't really gone away.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not going to get better. Mm-hmm. You know, why put yourself in a situation like that? I mean, I understand it's your livelihood, but if there's a possibility of going freelance or working from home or just doing it in a different way, you should explore that.
Mm-hmm.
Being berated, because it lowers your self-esteem. It definitely does not have you performing at your highest.
Right.
No.
And you can't feel too good about your life.
Right.
When that's happening.
Right.
So there are mean bosses.
There are. All right. Yeah. So we're talking about a few options. One is that you go and address the boss, you, if you're not the target, but witnessing this. Two is bring a colleague and address the boss. Three is think of the owner and see if there's something you can say to them. Four is possibly leave. If this is historically something this individual always does, start to find your exit strategy. And for the person who's the target, definitely find your exit strategy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back with more.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Hey, welcome back. So we thought we would talk about sort of the opposite, which is what happens when you're the favorite.
Yeah.
And your coworkers are not too thrilled with you because you're the favorite child.
That can be really uncomfortable.
To some people. No, it's uncomfortable.
Some people milk it. Absolutely. A lot of people milk it.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, how do you know you're the favorite? You know you're the favorite because they're always calling you in for meetings, or
they talk
to you
at
everything you say.
Yeah, they talk to you differently. They give you the best projects. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everything you do, everything you present is great. Mm-hmm. And they probably have lunch with you more often than anybody else. Mm-hmm. We actually have a client who was the favorite, and then he retired. Mm-hmm. And then the next person that came in knew that she was a favorite, and I think punished her for that reason. Mm. So you have to be careful with that.
Right.
I mean, look, if you're really very good and you're admired for that, that's one thing. But I think we're talking about something else.
We are.
How do you describe it?
I think it's like an emotional, it's almost like your boss has a crush on you.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm bringing up the whole relationship thing again. But
well, you can't help yourself.
Emotionally. But it feels like you are a target of positive affection, not negative affection.
It is a bit of a crush, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a workplace crush.
It is. And I have been in that situation before, and I honestly hated it. It didn't feel good because, and maybe it just has to do with my personality, but it felt like I always had to say, well, you know, Sarah did this too. And George, he was a great help. And this is, and like I was always busy trying to distribute the credit, knowing mm-hmm. that the other individuals involved must feel like crap.
Right.
You know, that's so kind of you. It happened to me really early in my career, and I totally milked it. But I don't remember anyone being annoyed at me because I worked for it. Uh-huh. I think I was favored because I actually would come in earlier.
You were the highest producer.
I really was. I worked very hard for it. And because I remember saying to him when I left there, and I said, thank you for the opportunities. You gave me so many opportunities. And he said, no, I didn't. I actually give everybody opportunities. You're the only one who took them.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Because I don't mm-hmm. remember anyone else being mad. They might have been mad at me. I don't know.
Behind closed doors.
Yeah, right.
Right.
When I didn't know. But, you know, I think it's an interesting one. But I know what you're talking about, which is when it's not 100% deserved, it's coming from somewhere else.
Yeah, they need something from you as well. And also, talk about something that's not good for morale. But mm-hmm. I mean, your situation was you were the high performer, and so they really enjoyed you and, you know, rewarded you. But if it's just happening because this person has a work crush on you, then it's not helping the team, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you can, like we were talking about the last time, if someone's targeted, go to the boss and say, this is making me uncomfortable. I don't know if you're the target of favoritism, if you can go and say, you know how you like me so much?
Yeah, you know, you keep giving me all these projects and, you know. Free lunches.
But, you know, it feels so affirming when your boss really admires you and wants to be with you and wants to hear your opinion. I mean, it's kind of nice. How do you turn away from that? So that's an interesting dilemma. If you're aware mm-hmm. that it's making others uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
and you know it's not 100% deserved, there's something else going on.
Yeah.
And you know, what's interesting is I used to think that of this boss who gave me these opportunities, he had a daughter my age and she was a drug addict. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I thought he was just transferring, you know, like he finally found a young girl who wasn't a drug addict.
Right.
Yeah.
But it later turned out that wasn't the case, that I actually was just working hard. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it may be that you've earned it, but you don't realize you've earned it. Is that what you're saying? The special treatment?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. maybe you really are that good, and this person is, you know, grateful that you're there and getting work done and really supporting their efforts. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure that out. But if it's something else, if it's that they like you because, I don't know, they like talking to you or they like looking at you, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Or maybe they think you're going to bring them something. You know, you have connections they want.
Right.
Yeah.
If it's something like that, you do have to play it down.
Well, I'm also thinking that one of the things you could do if you have, in a sense, that power is you could bring up to your boss ways to build morale for the rest of the team. So you mm-hmm. could use your favoritism to benefit those who are not so favored.
That's true. Mm-hmm. You could acknowledge others publicly and pass it on.
If they think that all your ideas are great, you could introduce that idea as well.
Right.
And just say, you know, I think this would really help the rest of the team if we really acknowledge at the end of every week what everyone else is producing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would love to hear from people that are in that position where they're a favorite and if it's uncomfortable or how they deal with it, or if it's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And are they getting bad vibes from their coworkers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would love to know, what that's like.
That's good. So tweet us your stories and advice about being a target or being a favorite. Vote for us on Podcast Land and review us on iTunes. And please send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.